This time we'll dismiss our children of the third grade to head downstairs for their children's church class. And I would invite and ask you, those of us who are left, to turn to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24 as we look at, once again, Abraham and his faith. We are approaching about the halfway point in the book of Genesis, and about half of what we have studied in the book of Genesis has been about Abraham. It began with God calling Abraham to leave the place that he called home, to go to a land where he would be a stranger, but one day God promised that that land would belong to his descendants. It involved a promise even more than that, just a covenant that God made to Abraham, that and all that his descendants would be his people, that he would be their God. We also see as Abraham followed him that God honored this promise, that he would be blessed, as he was blessed in every way. It also included times of weakness and fear, and also times of great courage and faith. We're going to look at this story one last thing as Abraham is maybe anticipating that he is nearing his death. The servant may be anticipating Abraham is nearing his death. He had one more thing that he needed to do to find a son or find a wife for his son, Isaac. Now, as we look at this and we consider these things together, I'm just going to read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. For even as we see Abraham and his faith and his desire to be faithful and to complete and finish the task that God had given him to do and to assure that things kept moving forward in this direction that they needed to go, just some things here as we think about our relationship with God as well. As God made a promise to Abraham and just the confidence and the hope that he had in that, we see here in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, just God's word to the church. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. And so many of those same things, God's choosing, God's calling us from darkness into light, God blessing us with every spiritual blessing, and again, just looking at his perfect and the kind intention of his good will. And we're going to see those things as we look at Abraham here. And so before we get into Genesis 24, let's once again go to the Lord in prayer and just ask him to bless our time in his word. God, we thank you for the truth of your word. Lord, we know that we need it. Lord, we need its encouragement. Lord, we need its correction. And Lord, we are thankful that you have given it to us. And Lord, as you have blessed us in so many ways, we ask that you would bless us now with your word as we study it here together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we do see Abraham in verse 1 of chapter 24, and we'll read through and we'll read through all the way through verse 14. It says, now Abraham was old, advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in every way. Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that he owned, please place your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I live. But you will go to my country and to my relatives and take a wife for my son Isaac. The servant said to him, Suppose the woman is not willing to follow me to this land. Should I take your son back to the land from where you came? Then Abraham said to him, beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my birth, who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants I will give this land, he will send his angel before you, and you will take a wife for my son from there. But if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be free from this oath, this my oath. Only do not take my son back there. So the servant placed his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 camels from the camels of his master and set out with a variety of good things of his master's in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. He made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. He said, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show loving kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I'm standing by the spring, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now may it be that the girl to whom I say, please let down your jar so that I may drink, and who answers, drink, and I will water your camels also, may she be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown loving kindness to my master. Where we begin, we see just Abraham's faith, and really the fact that he understood God's plan. God's plan was understood. When he called him out, he had his ups and downs, maybe seeing clearly and sometimes not so clearly, lapses of faith and judgment, but then great courage and faith as well. He knew that God had given him a promise. And he was confident in that promise. And his confidence in that promise resulted in actions that were in step with his will. He says, this is what God has promised to me, and I'm absolutely sure it's going to happen. Therefore, I'm going to take steps to go in the direction of that promise. The future hope that he had, even though his life was coming to an end, was that God would give this land to his descendants. And he takes action to make sure that happens. In order for that to happen, right now his descendant is Isaac. His seed needs a wife to have more seed. The generations would stop if Isaac did not have a wife. And as he charges his servant here, it's interesting, just even the fact that he understands God's promise and his covenant. The servant asks him, well, what if I can't find, the first requirement is no one from the Canaanites. Don't take a woman from here. Well, now, why would he say that? I even asked a few people. You know, Abraham came from a pagan family. He wasn't necessarily going somewhere that he was going to find a God-fearing wife by sending him back to his family. But he also knew that God had a plan for this nation of Canaan. All the Canaanites were going to be dispossessed. They were going to be judged severely, because when their sin had been made complete, a few places we see in here, just even with Sodom and Gomorrah and the sinfulness of that city, that God said, if I can find one righteous person, one, I'll spare the city. Well, he didn't spare the city. So maybe you say, well, they're more pagan than the other pagans. Well, this is not a lesser of two evils. But he also looked at it and said, this land of Canaan, God's plan for them is to dispossess them. And if he marries a Canaanite, that might be advantageous, maybe economically. It might be advantageous because now they've got, in those days, a marriage would have made an alliance. But understanding, no, God has a plan for them, God has a plan for me. We cannot be in alliance with one another because those two plans are going to clash at some point in time in the in the future. And he understood that and said, like, I can't let him take a wife from the Canaanites. And also the servant says, well, what if I can't find a son or a wife? Oh, I'm going to do that all day, maybe. But he said, what if I can't find a woman that's willing to follow me to the land? Should I take Isaac back to the land? He says, no, don't do that either. What might happen if you take Isaac back to the land? Well, he very well may find a wife in that land, but God's plan for Abraham and his descendants was to live in a land where they would be strangers and they would be foreigners, and ultimately they would be, you know, removed from that, and then God would bring them back and give that land to them. Just even aware, maybe in his own mind, that very well, maybe Isaac would not hold as strongly to the promise that was given to Abraham. We assume that Isaac had learned and he had trained. It wasn't very long ago. We see him as a sacrifice, a willing sacrifice, carrying the wood for the burnt offering that he was going to be up the hill. So we would think that his training and the things that Abraham, even as his father, would have instructed him of, he would have known these things as well. But in Abraham's mind, thinking that might not be a good idea, that just places a temptation to depart from, to not trust in the plans of God, and instead to do what is convenient, to do what is comfortable, to do maybe what would please him, rather than trusting God and pursuing the blessing that God had promised him. So Abraham, as he looks at that, he says, some steps need to be taken. We need to do things that are in accordance with his will. You know, as we look at that, to know that this is what God has promised, this is what God has said, to say, well, I'm going to do this anyway, and if God wants that to happen, he can work it out and bring things full circle. Well, that would be foolishness. Abraham understands the wisdom of pursuing those things and going in the direction that he has given. I mean, it's Father's Day. I haven't sniffed a pie in the house. I don't know if I get one today or not. But if I was looking around in the basement, in the freezer, in the refrigerator, and everywhere else, and Cheryl told me, the pie's upstairs in the freezer. I say, okay, thanks. And I kept looking around in the basement. Well, I have blessing if I just go upstairs to the right refrigerator. Instead, I'm running around hunting for something that I know is there, but I'm hunting in the wrong place, and I will never, ever obtain it. And we see for him, he says, no, I need to be faithful to go in the direction where God has led me. Because to do anything else would be foolishness. To do anything else would be disobedience. And I believe, I trust that God's plans are right. And God will act according to his plan. I will act according to his plan too. That's Abraham's commitment as he's here and he gives the instruction to the servant. And you may be asking, even the whole hand under the thigh, and they talk about even, you know, the in the loins of Abraham, and they talk about that, and some of those things, it's just that area. He says that hand under there suggests this is an oath. It may have been their custom, but we don't know that. But it may also just have been because this has to do with God's promise. This has to do with the seed that God has promised and what he's going to do. And Abraham has had his issues trying to figure out how he was going to get that seed. Hagar and Ishmael and all the questions and the doubts. And then Isaac came and he says, we've got to do this right. So he committed the servant to it. The servant's still worried. He said, don't worry. If you can't find him, you just come back. You'll be free from the oath. I won't hold it against you. There'll be no judgment or problem that comes upon you because it didn't happen. You just come back. Because if God doesn't lead you to that woman and she doesn't come back with you, then that's not his plan. And we're not going to try to figure out, do an end around to try to accomplish that goal. He'd been down that road before and knows it doesn't work. But we see he's confident that God's promise resulted in actions that were in keeping with what God's will was. So we then turn to the servant. Abraham leaves the scene, and we see that when seeking God's will, ask for his help. You know, what am I going to do? How am I going to find this woman? So he goes, Lord, the God of my master Abraham, and I tend to think just even by his responses, it's probably his God too, but yet it goes back to the covenant and what he was doing for Abraham. Now show me success. Show kindness to Abraham. And he made some pretty specific requests. Again, I don't know all of the cultural details, if that's a normal thing, or if he asked for something so out there. He said, well, if she does that, then she's got to be, because no one in their right mind would do what I'm asking. Just that he would be absolutely certain that this was the Lord's plan. But he goes to the Lord and asks for help. Show me the way that I go. Reveal to me the decision that needs to be made, because I don't want to mess this up. And I know as long as I sit here and just try to figure it out, I'm going to keep struggling, and I'm just not going to know. Lord, I want you to give me direction here that I might be able to see. I'm not necessarily saying that we ought to be making prayers with this level of specificity. I wouldn't recommend saying, you know, even if you're looking for a wife, this list may not be the list that you look for. But as he looks at these things, he's trying to figure out, what is it that I ought to do? And he wants it to be so clear. Also, I think there is something in there, just even that list. If it was a dating site ad, you know, seeking woman with water jar and a strong back to water camels, I think he also understood the type of woman that would leave with him to be in a foreign land was one who was going to need to be able to have some of the qualities that are here, her kindness, her ability to work, to serve, and those things. Just that this is what she needs to be. He had wisdom, but he sought God and said, show me the way that I ought to go. And I think, again, to look at his desire, because we have the verse, you know, you do not have because you do not ask. But you also ask and do not have because you ask with the wrong motives. And as he is seeking for, his highest priority is, God, I must know your will. So he asks for a sign, and then he waits on the Lord. And for us, if our motivation is, Lord, I want you to show me the way that I ought to go. I want you to lead me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. I will follow. Help me, because I know I need it. So the servant asks, and we'll see that repeated over again as we look through, as God's plan unfolds. God's plan unfolds. And for this, we'll read for a while here, in beginning in verse 15, and then we'll look at it piece by piece. He says, before he had finished speaking, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor, came out with her jar on her shoulder. The girl was very beautiful, a virgin, and no man had had relations with her. And she went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, please let me drink a little water from your jar. She said, drink, my lord. And she quickly lowered her jar to her hand and gave him a drink. Now when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw also for your camels until they have finished drinking. So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran back to the well to draw, and she drew for all his camels. Meanwhile, the man was gazing at her in silence to know whether the Lord had made his journey successful or not. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took a gold ring weighing a half shekel and two bracelets for her wrists weighing 10 shekels in gold and said, whose daughter are you? Please tell me, is there room for us to lodge in your father's house? She said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, whom she bore to Nahor. Again she said to him, we have plenty of both straw and feed and room to lodge in. Then the man bowed low and worshipped the Lord. He said, blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his loving kindness and his truth toward my master. As for me, the Lord has guided me in the way to the house of my master's brothers. Then the girl ran and told her mother's household about these things. Now Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban, and Laban ran outside to the man at the spring. When he saw the ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrists, and when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister saying, this is what the man said to me. He went to the man, and behold, he was standing by the camels at the spring. And he said, come in, blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside, since I have prepared the house and a place for the camels? So the man entered the house. Then Laban unloaded the camels, and he gave straw and feed to the camels and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. But when food was set before him to eat, he said, I will not eat until I have told my business. And he said, speak on. So he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master so that he has become rich. And he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and servants and maids and camels and donkeys. Now Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master in her old age. And he has given him all that he has. My master made me swear, saying, you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I live. But you shall go to my father's house and to my relatives and take a wife for my son. I said to my master, suppose the woman does not follow me. He said to me, the Lord before whom I have walked will send his angel with you to make your journey successful, and you will take a wife for my son from my relatives and from my father's house. Then you will be free from my oath when you come to my relatives, and if they do not give her to you, you will be free from my oath. So I came today to the spring and said, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, if now you will make my journey on which I go successful, behold, I am standing by the spring, and may it be that the maiden who comes out to draw, and to whom I say, please let me drink a little water from your jar, and she will say to me, you drink, and I will draw for your camels also, let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. And before I had finished speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder and went down to the spring and drew. And I said to her, please let me drink. She quickly lowered her jar from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will water your camels also. So I drank, and she watered the camels also. Then I asked her and said, whose daughter are you? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him. And I put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her wrists. And I bowed low and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had guided me in the right way to take the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. So now, if you are going to deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, let me know that I may turn to the right hand or the left. Then Laban and Bethuel replied, the matter comes from the Lord, so we cannot speak to you bad or good. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has spoken. When Abraham's servant heard their words, he bowed himself to the ground before the Lord. The servant brought out articles of silver and articles of gold and garments and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. Then he and the men who were with him ate and drank and spent the night. When they rose in the morning, he said, send me away to my master. But her brother and her mother said, let the girl stay with us a few days, say 10. Afterward, she may go. He said to them, do not delay me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the girl and consult her wishes. Then they called Rebekah and said to her, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. Thus they sent away their sister Rebekah and her nurse with Abraham's servant and his men. Now, we look at that, read all of those things, and something we see even as God's plan unfolds. Even as Abraham said, I know this is what God has said, and I'm going to pursue, I'm going to walk down a path that's going to lead to where God told me he wants me to go. We see the servant doing the very same thing, saying, this is what my goal is. This is what I've been sent to do. I believe that God has led me here, and I'm going to continue down this path, taking steps to arrive at the end that I trust God has led me to. And we see that God's guidance demanded his perseverance. You know, if you go back to the beginning of that section. Now, the beginning, it all happened pretty fast. He wasn't really, before he was talking and praying, here comes a beautiful woman. I think the description of a virgin and no man had relations with her is just even the fact that this had not ever been the wife of another man. This is a woman who, right, well, God had kept for this moment and for this time because God's intention was that Rebecca would be Isaac's wife. Well, she comes out and does exactly what the servant prayed for. And it seems to be, all right, this is the one. You know, let's go. But no, he sits there and waits and just kind of watches, gazing in silence, verse 21 tells us, wondering if the Lord has made his journey successful or not. Sounds pretty successful to me. She comes, gives him a drink, waters the camel, which is no simple task. Probably each of those camels, if they had a long journey, drank 25 gallons of water. Evidently, they drink 25 gallons of water in 10 minutes. That would explain why she's running, I guess. But 10 camels, 250 gallons of water, probably a 3-gallon jug, and she made 80 to 100 trips with that water jug to water camels. Well, he sits there and gazes at her. All right. Yeah, you want to come back to my master's son? Is he as lazy as you are? But looking at that, he says, she did all of those things, but he said, Lord, I believe this is where you're leading, but I want to be sure. I need to be sure. Now, he did honor her with a gold ring and 2 bracelets, paying her, that might have been what we would say in our dates, you know, $7,000 for watering camels, which is pretty good for a period of time. But as he keeps asking questions, you know, he doesn't know where she's from. He's not absolutely sure whether she fits all the criteria that were put before him. Well, we see he rejoices. Not only is she from that land, she's from Abraham's family. They're even better as God's going to fulfill these plans. So he asks and he goes to the house. And they say, hey, why don't you sit down and have a meal, relax a little bit. He says, no, I cannot relax because my job, my work is not done. I won't take a break. I have to ask you a question. There's some business we need to take care of. He said, I would like to take Rebecca and bring her to my master's son to be his wife. They say, sure. No. If somebody came and brought me a lot of money, and they could prove to me that God had led them to this point. I've got some daughters. I think they're spectacular. But anyway, as we move on, he says, sure, you can go, and we'll get to his answer later, understanding that this is of the Lord. But in looking at that, and he says, no, we can't. And they say, okay, we are agreeable to this. You can go with her. Well, the next day they changed their mind and thought, you know, maybe 10 more days. And he says, no. I came here to do God's will. I believe God has led me to this point, and it's time for us to go back. This is where God has led us, and we're going to do it without delay, without distraction. You know, it's sometimes for us, we might get guided and we feel like, oh, I've made some pretty good progress. Now I just need to relax for a while. Well, we understand there's constantly work that needs to be done. Walking by faith is a daily exercise that we involve ourselves in. We seek God's help. And as he leads us and as he guides us, there, in many ways, it kind of flies in the face of that let go and let God. You know, hang on and go with him is what we do. And that's what the servant did. And they went back. He persevered in doing God's will, regardless of what the circumstance may be. And then we see that God's guidance, as it demands his perseverance, we also see in the life of that servant that God's goodness deserves praise. God's goodness deserves praise. And we see that in a couple of different places, specifically in verses 26 and 27, as he bowed down and worshiped the Lord and saying, "The Lord is blessed. He has not forsaken his loving kindness and his truth towards his master, and he has guided me in this way." He is thankful. He's giving the credit to God, understanding that God has led him to this point. And we see here the number of times that he even just tells the story. You know, he said, "This is the prayer I had. This is what happened. Now let me tell you what happened. This is what God did." You know, I joke about if you can say, "This is how God has brought me to this place." Great question for fathers, even on Father's Day, to ask. If a guy comes and asks to marry your daughter, how is it that you believe God has led you to this place? Well, he outlined that. Every detail, each time, maybe as surprised and in wonder and awe at how God had worked to accomplish these things. And he says, you know, in verse 48, again, "After God did these things, I bowed low and worshiped the Lord and blessed him. Blessed him, the God of my master Abraham, who guided me in the right way to take the daughter of a master's kinsman for his son." So that servant sees. He enters, he praises the Lord, gives him the credit. I don't think even on the way home or any point in time he says, "I found her, I found her." No, God brought her to me. He understood that God was working and he was rejoicing in that. We don't have any story of an angel here. We have no evidence of an angel, but he repeats what Abraham said to him. But Abraham and the servant, great certainty that God would lead them in the direction they needed to go, because God had already announced that he had a plan and they knew it was going to be accomplished. And they praised him when they saw it was done, both just in worship as he praised God and in telling other people, "Let me tell you what God has done in directing and guiding in my life and in his plans for me." So we see that in the life of the servant. And then we see, just again, everything always goes according to plan. God's plan is unhindered. God's plan is unhindered. Abraham and the servant both knew what it was and they understood. And then they saw the whole thing unfold. And now we just even to focus on God and understand that he is never, ever, ever hindered in accomplishing what he desires to accomplish. That is why it ought to be so easy for us to trust him. "Lord, lead me. Where are we going? I don't know where we're going." It doesn't matter. Because quite honestly, I believe that this path that you've put me on because of Jesus Christ, because that you've done in my heart, forgiving me of my sins, I believe that every day from this day forward is a path to blessing, to your goodness. And so I will follow, because there's nothing that will stand in the way. And we see even this, that persistence of the servant. I think believing that God's going to make this happen. At the beginning, the servant had some questions. Well, what if she won't come? Well, maybe Laban wasn't going to let her go. Maybe she's going to decide, "I think I just like it here. Better. But none of those things which would be considered obstacles or roadblocks on the way to God's will being accomplished took place. Every moving part complied with God's will. He says, the angel is going to go before you, the servant in his looking and his obedience. We see Rebecca. You would think maybe the Spirit working in her heart to water all those camels, to accomplish those things. You see Laban in verse 50, I said we get back to that. There's a part of me that says, I can't imagine just a stranger coming up and saying, hey, I'd like to take your daughter to a foreign land and marry my master's son. Well, Laban, after he heard the story, says, well, this matter comes to the Lord. What am I going to say? I can't speak good about it. I can't speak bad about it. Whether I like it or not is of no consequence. It's pretty obvious this is what the Lord has done. You know, and for us to realize he's in control of all of those things. For Rebecca, 10 more days. Everyone else, maybe they just want a little bit more time. Maybe we want to think about this. But to ask Rebecca, what do you think? I wonder whether in her heart she'd be thinking, yeah, 10 days might be nice. She says, nope. I'll go. Seems without question or really concern. God worked out all of those things, every single part, every piece fell into its place. We know puzzles aren't put together by falling into place. Somebody puts the pieces in the right place. And that's what God did here, as he directed and as he guided. We'll read verse 59 through 67, and we'll just see the blessing in the completion of God's plan. And so thus they sent away their sister Rebekah and her nurse with Abraham's servant and his men. They blessed Rebekah and said to her, may you, our sister, become thousands of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gate of those who hate them. Then Rebekah arose with her maids, and they mounted the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. Now Isaac had come from going to Beer Lahai-Roi, for he was living in the Negev. Isaac went out to meditate in the field toward evening, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, camels were coming. Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camel. She said to the servant, who is that man walking in the field to meet us? And the servant said, he is my master. Then she took her veil and covered herself. The servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. Thus Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. And just this completion, Abraham had set out from the very beginning to pursue and to attain the blessing of God and to see more and more God fulfilling his covenant with him. God has brought this to pass. And so God's covenant was going to continue through Isaac and Rebekah. God had provided a wife, just as he had provided for Abraham a son. That idea of going into his mother Sarah's tent, taking Rebekah, that indicates that she is now the matriarch of the family. That she was the one the seed is going to continue through. And so we see, yet God's promise to Abraham is not completed. It's going to keep going and going and going. But this step was done. And to look at it, it brought joy to the servant. It was the approval of everyone else involved, and it brought comfort to to Isaac, just that the Lord had provided a wife for him. And again, as he had been taught and he had learned, a wife that would allow the covenant promise that God had made to him to continue on and on and on. You know, as we look at Abraham and we look at the servant, you know, even Laban and Rebekah and Isaac, to look at these things as God kind of unfolds and outlines his plan. And we read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. You know, I'll just read for you Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. I ought to be able to quote it, but I don't want to mess it up either. And he says, "Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus." He talks about the righteousness earlier that's found in him, the value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, gaining Christ, knowing him and the power of his resurrection, and the fact that he's going to attain to the resurrection of the dead. And he says, that future hope that I have, that confidence I have in the promise of God, I have not laid hold of it yet. I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. No, the work is not complete, but I'm pressing on because I want to lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. If God has called and led and directed us, he's completing the work which he begins in us. We ought to be taking steps in the direction that he intends for us to go, pursuing the very same thing that caused him to pursue us, the reason for which he saves, the reason for which he removes our sin and our guilt and gives to us life. Just to close, by way of conclusion and just something to think about, we can say that God has called us out of darkness into his light. We can say that by his grace, he's given us life through his Son, Jesus Christ, and that he has given his Spirit to guide our steps. The question that needs to be asked is, if I know that is true, then in what way does the pattern of our life demonstrate that we believe it is true? We see that in Abraham and the servant and Laban and Rebekah to go to a foreign land. This is God's plan. I see his hand in it. I will be faithful and I will follow. Let's pray, and then we'll sing and be dismissed. Dear God, we thank you for, again this morning, Lord, we thank you that you do all things according to your plan. And Lord, we just pray that as we know how you've begun this work, we don't know exactly how it's all going to work out, but Lord, we desire to be faithful. We desire to be obedient. And as you lead us, we just ask for your help, that we would follow that leading. And the path that you have given to us, a pathway of blessing and life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.